You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
All right, everybody, it is Tuesday, April 9th, 2024, and it is indeed a heck of a morning. It is a heck of a week, everybody. We are live on the MMA Fighting Twitter stream. You can hear the show in its entirety shortly thereafter on the MMA Fighting Podcasting Network. What's going on, everybody? I am Mike Heck, just in a tremendous mood, as most MMA fans are this week, because we're here. It's fight week, and not just any old fight week. No, 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 no. This isn't UFC Vegas 917. This is UFC 300. We're out of the world's most famous apex. This is the card of cards. In my opinion, the greatest card on paper in UFC history. And we are four damn days away from it all going down at the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, Nevada. Alex Pereira versus Jamal Hill for the light heavyweight title. Zhang Weili versus Yan Zhonan for the strawweight title. The dream fight. Justin Gaethje versus Max Holloway for the BMF title. Charles freaking Oliveira versus Armin Sarukian. Bo Nickel versus Cody Brundage. Jiří Prochazka versus Alexander Rakic. Calvin Kattar welcoming Aljamain Sterling to the featherweight division. Holly Holm welcoming Kayla Harrison to the UFC. Sadiq Youssef versus the man with the best hair in all of MMA, Diego Lopez. Jalen Turner versus Renato Moicano. Jessica Andrade, Marina Rodriguez. Bobby Green versus Jim fucking Miller. And Davison Figueiredo versus Cody Garbrandt. Holy shit, man. This card is unreal. I'm sure we're going to get a lot of questions about UFC 300. I'm going to try to ramp you up as much as I can. If this ain't going to do it for you, you can head to the MMA Fighting YouTube channel, because I got to speak with the legends, the great John Anik, who will be calling the action at UFC 300. And we got after it for a little over 30 minutes. So you guys can go check that out. It was good catching back up with John. We didn't get to do one for 299. Schedules didn't line up, but there was no way we weren't doing a preview for UFC 300. So let's get into this. There's lots to discuss. I'm sure you guys have a million questions. So let's go. I'm eeny-meenying this. We got five people in line. And let's see who I land on first. We land on CV. How about that? Go ahead, CV.
Hey, Mike. Heck of a morning. I want your thoughts on the Gaethje Holloway fight. Well, specifically, if Holloway wins, he's going to be in a very interesting spot. Like, does he get like the lightweight title shot, or like can he potentially like go back to featherweight and fight Topuria, which I think would be a sick fight. So yeah, what are your thoughts on that?
Much like a lot of this stuff heading into 300, I don't know. I truly don't know, because if Holloway goes out and beats Gaethje and like wins a split decision in a fun ass fight, like people are going to be screaming from the rooftops for Max to get a lightweight title shot. And with the way this division is right now, and Islam wanting to fight in June, if he ends up fighting Dustin Poirier, I just don't know how this plays out. On top of that, Charles Oliveira is fighting Armin Sarukian, and if either Oliveira or Sarukian go out there and just melt the other in the first round, like that's super impressive. So is this just like a mini tournament? I don't know how this is all going to play out. If Max wins this fight and he's like, nah, I'm going to go to 45. I still think the UFC is going to give Volkanovski the rematch. So if you're Max, I think you kind of ride this wave. I think you ride this wave. You shout from the rooftops that you want the You want the lightweight title fight. Put yourself in position to either be a backup or I don't know. But that's the beauty of this card, is nothing's obvious when it comes to a lot of these fights. Nothing's out of play. But I have to say, if Max beats Gaethje, that's a freaking huge win. He's probably at the front of the line, even if Oliveira Sarukian, no matter how that fight plays out, because he's a star and all that. I don't know. That's, again, that's why this card is so freaking compelling. That's why this fight is what it is. It's the dream fight. But there is a lot on the line here. It's awesome. I will have, obviously, we're doing the watch party in Vegas. So I will have, I think I'm going to have some sort of action on every single fight on this card. For this fight, I have a bet on Max Holloway, not to win. I'm taking the points. Max Holloway plus 5.5 points at plus 100. That's what I'm going with. I do think Justin Gaethje is going to win. I see a lot of people out there saying that Justin's just going to go in there and kill him. No one's gone out there and just killed Max Holloway in a fight. No one's even hurt Max Holloway in a fight. And I know Justin Gaethje is a bat out of hell, but I think this fight is going to be very, very competitive. So give me Max to not win, but at least make it competitive enough to hang in there with Justin Gaethje. I can't wait for this fight. I can't wait for all of this. I really can't. I'm so excited. Thomas, go ahead. Uh-oh. Oh, nope. Nah, not connecting. Try again, Thomas. Bounce back up, bounce back in. Leo, do we have you?
Mike, just calling in to say, ask two things. One, I'm going to ask you about a fight that you probably are not going to get asked about a lot. So I just wanted to, it's probably the one overlooked fight on this card, which is Maria Rodriguez versus Jessica Andrade. How do you see that going? And two, the UFC Newark, I think it's 302. They go on sale in a few days and there's still no headliner. I guess it's going to be, I would assume it's going to be Islam and Dustin because Bilal's going to be in, Leon's going to be in the UK, but I don't know. I guess this is just their mojo now is putting tickets because they know they're going to sell even if they have no headliner. But thanks for everything you do, man, and have a heck of a morning and happy UFC 300 week, everyone.
Let's freaking go. God. I'm leaning Andrade in that fight, but I don't know. I think when I say I'm going to have a little bit of action on every one of these fights, this is probably going to be some sort of proppy sort of action. I'm leaning Andrade, but Marina looked real good in her last fight. I know it was against a much lower ranked opponent, but we haven't seen like a ton of overall consistency from Jessica Andrade, but she's also not taking this fight on 12 days notice, like a lot of her fights. So I'm leaning Andrade, but would I be surprised if Marina Rodriguez went in there and outboxed her and won a decision? No, it wouldn't surprise me. As far as 301 or 302 goes, excuse me, I think this is a week where you're going to get a ton of announcements. I have no insight to this, but I would say, I don't know if they're going to do it like before the press conference. I have a feeling Conor's return will probably be announced. I think they'll announce the main event for 302. They'll probably announce the main event for the UK card. I mean, what better time to do it, right? So I think this is going to be a week full of news galore. So that would be my hunch. And we've talked about this before. Just because it's so obvious that Leon Edwards, Bilal Muhammad should fight in the UK, it does not mean they're going to do it. How many times have they not done that? So we can assume, but we'll see if that assumption pays off. But I think we'll know the answer to that question sometime this week. Thomas, go ahead.
Yes, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Perfect. Sorry about that. A couple of questions, really. Obviously, this card's very competitive. The only fight I'm looking at, really, it's a wee bit one-sided, is the Bo Nickel fight. What is your opinion on the most competitive fight on the card? Obviously, there's a couple that come to mind for me. It's the main event's obviously very close. And I personally like the opener. I like Garbrandt and Figueiredo. I think it's closer than what people think. I think they'll announce Tom Aspinall maybe as a main event in the UK, because he kind of dropped the hint that he's over in Vegas meeting with the UFC to come to an arrangement for a fight. And a bit of an outside question, who do you think is in the Hall of Fame?
Who do you think's what?
Who do you think goes into the Hall of Fame?
For the UFC? What, next year?
Yeah, who gets announced that UFC 300 is a Hall of Famer?
Oh, I don't think any. I think they haven't announced a fight yet. I don't think. Maybe they announce a fight. It should be Carlos Condit versus Robbie Lawler, if we're being honest. Like, that fight should be in there. Maybe they throw Robbie Lawler in there. I don't know. Is it a little too quick for that? I mean, it would be a year. Yeah, I don't know. I think they're probably not to fight, though. They got a pretty stacked class already. But maybe they announced the fight. Let's go to Chubby Dana.
Hey, hello.
Hello.
I had a question about what you think the outcome is going to be of Gaethje versus Holloway. I think Gaethje, after working with Trevor Whitman now for a while, I think he's more tactically inclined. I don't think he's going to go out and try to take Max's head off. I think we're going to see a Ferguson versus Gaethje type fight, where it's going to be really tactical. And I'm wondering, what is next for Holloway if he wins this fight? Does he fight for the belt? Does he fight a top five? Does he go back down to featherweight?
Thanks, man. Yeah, so to answer the previous question, what's the most competitive fight? It's tough, man. I think the answer is Gaethje Holloway, honestly. I think the fight's incredibly competitive. I mean, Oliveira Sarukian, I think, is more competitive than the betting line suggests. The main event on paper is competitive, but I think in execution, it's not going to be competitive. I think whoever wins this fight is going to win running away. Either Pereira is just going to go out there and kill Jamahal Hill in the first 3 minutes of the fight, or Jamal's going to take Alex down and just beat the shit out of him. Like, I don't think this fight goes to the cards in any way. And I think whoever wins is going to impose their will. I don't think it's going to be a back and forth affair. I think someone's just going to do the thing and win. And the more I think about this fight, the more questions I have about it. It's just, there's just so much surrounding it. The pressure that is on Jamahal Hill here is astronomical. The way he's been talking, the confidence he has, like, he has to win this fight. He absolutely has to win, or it's gonna look super bad for him, more so than it would have for Ilia Topuria, if we're being honest. So a lot on the line for Jamahal Hill. He is in a must-win situation, in my opinion. So it's gonna be wild. I kind of answered the Holloway if he wins question earlier, and the answer again is I have no idea, because we don't know what's going to happen with Sarukian and Oliveira. We don't know if Islam's fighting Dustin. We assume that's the direction they may go, but we don't know. And I kind of feel Volk's going to get the rematch, so Holloway's just going to have to sit on the sidelines and wait. But as far as the fight goes, like I said earlier, I have a bet on Max Holloway. I have a point spread bet on him at +5.5 points. I got it at +100. That line has closed a little bit more. It's -120 now. So I think a lot of people are jumping on that. I think Gaethje wins the fight. I think he wins a decision, but I think it's a very competitive decision. I agree with you. I don't think Gaethje's going to go out there and try to spinning wheel kick Max Holloway into the third row. I think he has a ton of respect for Max. I think Max has a ton of respect for him. It's going to be sick. It's going to be a sick fight. I cannot wait. But my pick is Justin Gaethje by decision. in a fight of the year contender, which shouldn't surprise anybody. Riley, go ahead.
No earthquakes today, so that's good. I just wanted to ask, what do you think the UFC glove presentation is going to be? Do you think it's just going to be like a sponsorship or whatever, or I don't know, monetize, say, UFC 300 on the gloves or something? Or do you think it might actually be a new design to stop fucking eye pokes? And secondly, do you think the canvas is going to be gold, or do you think we're just going to get a regular white, gray, whatever it usually is? Because I feel like if it's gold, it's going to be so ugly. I don't want, like, I hated the yellow canvas. I don't want gold canvas. That's just me. All right. Have a good one. Thanks.
That's both are good questions. I honestly have no insight to the equipment announcement, but we'll find out this week. Be cool if they change the gloves. Something tells me I don't know. Maybe they will do it. Maybe they will do it. I don't. And again, I don't know if it's going to stop eye pokes. And even if it does, it's still not going to change the fact that people can still cheat and still grab the fence and kick in the nuts and all that stuff and not get any points taken. So it'll be potentially a fix, but you already know, my friends, you know that the first accidental eye poke that happens, even with a new pair of gloves, people are going to be like, see, didn't do a thing. We need to try again. Go back to the lab. But I'm curious to see how this all works out as well. Definitely am. And then the canvas thing, I was talking to Anik about it. He has no insight on this whatsoever. It would be cool to do like gold, but it like actually has to be gold. I think the UFC tried to do gold for 100, but the way that it just sort of laid on the mat, it just looked like mustard yellow. And I think if you went like straight gold, like without the shine to it, I don't know how it looks, but if they could pull it off, like that'd be sick. But it just can't look yellow, and it can't, you got to be able to walk and move on it too. So I kind of feel like they're just going to keep it simple, but I don't know. I would like to see them just, I know they won't do this because of the sponsors and stuff. I wish they could put the sponsors like on the outside of the octagon or something and just like put UFC 300 right in the middle. That'd be pretty cool just by itself, but they're not going to do that. Maybe they just have like a different logo in the middle. I don't know. We'll see what they do. Because 100, people are still talking about how awful the 100 was, but maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that's a good thing. MMA homie.
Hey, what's up, man? I got a lot of questions. This is DJ MTK with West Coast Radio. Our podcast is MMA Homies Podcast. But I guess I'll try to just leave it to one. I was trying to remember who they took off the main card to start it off. I thought it was Yuri because they pushed up Bo Nickel. And I'm assuming they did that to, you know, they're grooming him to want to be that next guy in the middleweight division. So I'm just wondering what your guys' opinion on that whole switch and where Bo Nickel is at and how they're trying to groom him.
So I think it was because the lineup's changed like 3 or 4 times already. I think because originally the original lineup that they put out was a 6-fight main card. Because I'm pretty sure, let me just look it up. I know we wrote about this, but let me just pull it up real quick. Yep. There you go. It was at UFC 298, I believe. They announced a 6-fight main card. The 6-fight main card was Alex Pereira, Jamal Hill, Zhang Weili, Yan Zhonan, Justin Gaethje, Max Holloway, Charles Oliveira, Armin Sarukian, Yuri Prochazka, Alexander Rakic, and Aljamain Sterling versus Calvin Kattar was also on the main card. So the way they initially set it up was 6 fights. Then they switched it back to 5, which is fine. And then they took Yuri and Rakic off. They took Sterling and Kattar off. And they put Bo Nickel in there. So the way the second lineup that they put out for the main card was Oliveira, Sarukian, was going to open the main card. Then they were going to do Bo Nickel versus Cody Brundage. And then the three fights as they were from Jump Street with Gaethje Holloway into the strawweight title fight, into the light heavyweight title fight. And then the next week they switched it again, but they just switched the first two fights around. So they did Nickel. So yeah, Nickel and Brundage opened the main card. And we talked about this on the show. I still kind of defend it, and I'll explain why. John Anik completely defended it in our conversation. You'll hear his explanation for it. But the way it was originally put out, where it was Oliveira Sarukian leading off, then Bo Nickel, Cody Brundage, I loved that idea because, one, we obviously understand what the UFC is trying to do with Bo Nickel. They think he's going to be a massive star. They're trying to push him. But the biggest thing to me was you're looking at 3 5-rounders at the top of the card. Now, we can assume that the main event is going to end quick, and I assume that the main event is going to end quick. But there's a real chance that all three of these fights go all five. There's a very real chance that happens. And if you're watching this main card, there's going to be a lot of new eyeballs on it. Do you want to risk putting 5 fights on a card, especially with 3 25-minute fights, that all go the distance? It's tough. Bo Nickel, Cody Brundage is pretty much a guarantee that probably ain't even getting out the first round. So the way they originally constructed it was, you know, Oliveira Sarukian, which I also don't think is going to go long. I don't think that gets out of the first round either. Then you get Bo Nickel versus Cody Brundage, which probably doesn't get out of the first round. Because once that main card starts, all we're thinking about is Holloway versus Gaethje. Like, we just want to get there. And what's the quickest way to get there? You put those two fights on the main card to lead into it. So that's how I view it. That's why I have no issue with it. A lot of people seem to have an issue with it. But you think Davison Figueiredo and Cody Garbrandt are upset that they're opening up the card? No. They're like, fuck yeah. I'm going to be done. Like, by the time they're done with their media scrum, they're going to be out of the – like, they'll be done by 5 p.m. local time. They could go watch the card. They could go eat pizza. They could go celebrate the day away and do whatever the fuck they want. It's a beautiful thing. So I have no issue with it, to answer your question. I think it's fine. I think it's fine. And Jiří Procházka, Alexander Rakic, Aljamain Sterling, Calvin Kattar, Kayla Harrison, Holly Holm. And what's the other fight? 1, 2, 3. Sadiq Yusup to Diego Lopez. More people are going to watch those 4 fights than the actual main card. Because it's going to be on ESPN. I believe it's on ABC as well. And there'll be over 2 million people on average, probably watching those 4 fights. So not a bad place to be. Not a bad place to be. Henderson, go ahead. It's not connecting. Try again, Henderson. Let's go to Four Corner Sports.
Hey, Mike. So there's 3 fights that I feel like no one's really talking about. I think it's Jiří Procházka versus Rakic. You have Yusup versus Lopez and Kattar versus Aljo. Which one of those 3 fights you feel like are going to be coming out with a performance bonus? And I know I don't want you to reveal, your hot note, but like out of those 3 fights, who do you have closest, I guess, to the title, and who has the most to lose out of those 6 fighters? All right, thanks, Mike.
A lot to unpack there. Who has the best chance of getting a bonus? Probably Diego Lopez. The way they're like kind of positioning him right now. Who has the most to lose? Unequivocally, it's Aljamain Sterling. Because if he loses to Calvin Kattar, like, now what? Do you just go back to 35 where your teammate's about to fight for the belt? knowing that as long as Sean O'Malley or Merab is the champion, you will not be fighting for the title. It's got to be him. And as far as who has the best chance to get to a title fight, it's going to obviously depend on who wins the main event. But if Jamal Hill beats Alex Pereira, it's Jiří Prochazka for sure. People freaking love Jiří. We saw the Pereira fight. And even if they ran that back, I don't think anybody would be super mad about it, because I do think there's going to be sort of a rivalry and a story between those two guys. But if Jamal Hill wins and Jiří Prochazka goes out and ices Alexander Rakic, they'll go Jiří versus Jamal Hill, which is the fight I wanted to see from the get-go. But then Jamal lost the belt, gave it up, and they did the vacant title fight. So, yeah. So those are my answers. I think I got all of them. Viking, go ahead.
So thanks a lot, Mike. I just want to know about the Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes. The Roman Reigns had two championship belts, right? And Cody Rhodes won the one of them. So Roman Reigns still has one championship or not? And explain me the championships of the WWE. I mean, the main championship the two Roman Reigns had. And the other question, this is completely an irrelevant question. The ship has sailed already, but I think Justin Gaethje and Max Holloway should have been the co-main event, and Zhang Weili and Yan Xiaonan should have been after that. So because of the BMF title, I mean, if they would have put Justin Gaethje and Max Holloway on the number two spots, the co-main event, people should have been respected BMF belt a bit. So what are your thoughts? Thanks a lot. Mikey.
Thank you, sir. I don't want to get too much in the weeds with the WWE stuff, but yeah, Roman did have two belts because they had two different brands. They had two different titles. One was a Raw title. One was a SmackDown title. Roman won both. He was the undisputed. There's like the undisputed title, and then there was the Universal title. So Roman won one belt, won the second belt, and then he became the quote-unquote undisputed Universal Champion. And then during this long-ass reign that Roman had, they created another belt, which is the one that Seth Rollins had for a while, lost to Drew McIntyre, and then won by Damian Priest, the World Heavyweight title. So, and it looks like they took Universal off the table altogether, so it's the WWE Championship is the one that Cody has now, and the World Heavyweight Championship is the one that Damian Priest has. So yeah, it's super weird with all the fucking belts and stuff. It's hard to follow, but yeah, that's what it is. Should Gaethje Holloway been the co-main event? No, I don't agree with that. There is only one of two ways you could do it. It can't be the co-main event. It can't. It's either you either headline the event with it, or if you're going to add like a second title fight, or technically a third, if you want to call the BMF title like a real belt, you got to put the actual belts up ahead of it. But if you wanted to just be like, hey, we couldn't get a main event, so Justin Gaethje, Max Holloway are going to beat the shit out of each other to end the night, like, I think that would be okay. There would be some people who still had a problem with the actual title not being defended above a not like real and recognized title, but it is the UFC, so none of this really matters anyways. This isn't boxing or pro wrestling. But yeah, it's either main event or it's the first of three. So I don't have a problem with it. I get where you're coming from, but I don't have a problem with it. It is fine. Henderson, go ahead. Same.
Allergies are so bad here in New Jersey this morning that it's even destroying my phone signal, I guess. But I feel like I'm living your life down south. But speaking of New Jersey, I have an idea that I want to put out there for UFC 300. And this might sound a little crazy, but the more I think about it, the less crazy it sounds. So how about if Charlie Oliveira loses and he's looking for his next fight? And Jim Miller, if he wins, they'll both be in the rankings. Jim Miller versus Charlie Oliveira, 3. They both have submissions against each other. I think Jim Miller originally won the first one in 2010. Seems impossible, but maybe true. I think they fought again in 2018. If Oliveira loses, he's going to be looking for something to do. His career is kind of in a weird spot in that case. I think it'd be a low risk fight for him to beat Jim Miller. And for Jim Miller, that's a great fight to go out on. You get a potential headliner against Charlie Oliveira in the rankings. So I want to know what you thought of that and if there's any hope of finishing that trilogy.
Maybe. I don't hate it. I don't hate it. I honestly, here's what would be super interesting to me. Let's just say, even if they both lose, even if they both lose, which, by the way, as of right now, I'm picking them both to lose. Let's just say, again, because we don't know what's happening with Ilya. We assume he's going to fight Alexander Volkanovski. Let's just say Sarukian does Sarukian things. And Justin Gaethje beats Max Holloway. And they beat the shit out of each other. And Max is limping around. He's hurt. Needs to take a little time. And Volkanovski wins the featherweight title. So obviously they're going to go and run it back. Give me Charles Oliveira versus Max Holloway. A fight that we never really got to see. Like they fought, but it never really got going because of the weirdness of how that ended. I mean, dude, Chucky Olives versus Max Holloway would be fun as hell, too. But yeah, dude, I mean, look, Jim Miller gets that fight with Charles Oliveira. I certainly don't think he's going to say no to it. So it'd be a great story. And I feel like if Miller gets a ranking, I think they're going to try to push him quick to try to get that feel-good story. So I'm not going to rule it out. Because there's a chance Charles Oliveira goes out and loses on Saturday. It could very well happen. Let's go to Nick. Nick, are you there? Yes, sir.
Hey, so same style question, another hypothetical, not UFC 300 related, but could you see a world where they're not announcing Conor and Chandler? Could you see them possibly doing Conor and Islam since they haven't announced Islam and Connor or Islam and Poirier? Thanks.
No, I don't see that happening. There's just, we got to get Connor just in there. At this point, like the way that they have just positioned these two guys, doing anything but Connor and Chandler would just be kind of a disservice at this point. Like it's been kind of funny along the way, just kind of seeing how this all plays out and Chandler just holding on hope the entire time. But yeah, I don't think so. I think they'll do Islam versus Dustin. I got to tell you, it would be one of the funniest things that has ever happened if that actually came true, though. You have all these lightweight fights scheduled that all have such meaning. Dustin just got this big win over Benoit Saint-Denis. Michael Chandler's waiting for the Conor fight. And then all of a sudden, Conor just jumps into a title fight. Oh, my Lord. That would be hilarious. The reaction of everybody would be tremendous. But unfortunately, I don't think that's going to happen. I do think Connor's fight will be announced this week. Toke, go ahead.
Hi, Mike. So I'm going to be really quick with this. I've never really set my piece on the Bo Nickel on the main card thing. And my piece is the UFC is just conditioning people that Bo Nickel is a name that you pay for. I mean, he's literally just, hey, let's put him in a squash match on the biggest card that we've ever had and then have him on the pay-per-view to this, to kind of tell people, hey, this guy's must see television. You have to see to pay him in the future. He's never going to be off on free television. This is a pay-per-view guy. This is just pure conditioning for me. So I like it. I think it's the right way to go about it, both business-wise and promotion-wise. I think it's clever. And short note, I know it's UFC 300 week. They just slipped this Nicholas Dolby read out Fakhretdinov.
Lost you. Dolby versus Fakhretdinov. Great fight. Great fight. I love it. See if Nicholas Dolby can keep this shit going, man. He is just quietly put together something real fun. If this fight was happening in Brazil, I'd be betting a lot on Nicholas Dolby because he just, it's what he does. But good fight. It's actually really good. It's a really good stylistic matchup for both guys because Dolby ain't going away. Fakhretdinov's going to try to get him out of there quick, and Dolby is durable as hell. And if that fight goes long, Nicholas Dolby could very well win that fight. So love the matchmaking there. Absolutely. And I agree with you on the Bo Nickel thing. I have no issue with it. A lot of people are up in arms about it. But no need. No need to be up in arms about it. The fight's going to be over very quickly, and then we get on to – and we get closer to the big-ass fights. Go ahead, Abzwalia.
What's up, Mark? Heck of morning. Firstly, I'm looking forward to UFC 300. My goodness. I have to say, with the lightweight fights particularly, there's a lot at stake, and I'm rarely, rarely interested and kind of lurking nervous to see what happens because this is going to be, you know, potentially game-changing for the entire division moving forward. I mean, you know, if you look at the matchmaking, even just for every single fight on this card, it is splendid and fantastic. I think, you know, that's why, you know, whatever people want to say, you have to give UFC their props. You know, Dana, Hunter, Sean, they know how to matchmake properly. I'm really curious to see who you have winning between Jalen and Renato Moicano. I think that's a beautiful fight. I also just want to ask you two more questions. What are your thoughts on the Joshua Van and Suma Deji fight that was, you know, recently confirmed for 302? And also, I heard rumors that I think from Bert MMA on his Instagram page that if the Pavlovich fight with Volkov does not continue to happen, and they break all contract, they might end up doing Kananir versus Imavov, possibly. I'm not too sure that's really true, but I'm curious to know that on your end, what's your thoughts on that? That's all I have. Have a great day.
I've heard nothing about either of those things. Well, I mean, the reports that Pavlovich Volkov like may not happen. I have heard some rumblings about that. You know, we've talked about what this means for 302 and Gelson Almeida and stuff a few different times. So still TBD on that. I haven't heard anything about Cannonier versus Imavov. And if I'm Jared Cannonier, why in God's green earth would you take that fight? That'd be an awful fight for him. Awful. It makes no sense. He's already sort of the forgotten man at the top of the rankings, and you're going to go fight Imavov? Yeah. That would be bad. That would be bad. Paul Costa's calling out Jared Cannonier. Why wouldn't he just go for that? Why wouldn't he just go for that? I don't know. Van Sumadares is a good fight. Chance for Van to get in the rankings. A lot of people like him. He's on the come up. Fun as hell. It's good scrap. It's good scrap. Turner Moicano, I'm still kind of figuring out. Like, everything on paper tells me Jalen's going to do what Jalen does, but Moicano's tough is real tough. I don't know. I think the betting line is spot on for that fight. Right now, it's Jalen Turner minus 238. Comeback on money, Moicano is plus 195. I have no issue with the betting line there, but got to take a gander at some tape before I decide. But right now, it's probably Jalen Turner.
This week on The Pitch, would you like fries with that?
People are what make franchises run. The person who knows the business inside and out.
Yep.
Not someone who came off Wall Street because their check clears. Franchairs is the first investment marketplace where people can invest in franchises.
So you said $800 billion is what this market is a year. And hundreds of businesses are actually franchised businesses.
Thousands.
Thousands and thousands.
There are more brands franchised than there are stocks on the NASDAQ.
Oh.
You're raising a $4 million price round.
And what are the terms on that?
The $19 million post-money valuation.
And you, do you not think that the valuation is a little frothy?
This week, things get frothy when Kenny Rose brings a new alternative investment class to retail investors. Go right now and subscribe to The Pitch, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Moneyline Mike, go ahead.
Wait, grab a one speaker on my car.
You hear me, Mike?
Yes, sir.
Hey, what's going on, brother? Happy UFC 300 week. We made it. We all made it. Thank God we got through all these shitty apexes. But two things. I guess I would say, I don't know if you talked about it, Keith. I came in late with the new glove announcement. I don't know. Hopefully it's not just some bullshit gold glove for UFC 300 and you're biting off a Bellator. But and it's actually the Trevor glove, the Onyx glove. I would really hope for that and get rid of these eye pokes or at least shorten the probability of them. Do you think we get Conor Chandler for the 165 title? And I'm just, let me be an optimistic fan, Mike. Don't shoot me down early. Don't shoot me down early. We haven't gotten the fight announcement for a reason. Are we getting this 165 title right now for Chandler and Mike? And then for UFC 300, who, besides the top three, what's the most anticipated fight for you?
Let me see. What am I doing? There we go. Thank you, Moneyline Mike. I appreciate that. No, I don't see 165 because you don't need it. You don't need it here. I'm not saying like they'll never do it. I'm more like if we're looking at this from a scale and one side is never going to do it and the other side is definitely going to do it, I would say there's like three or four extra little stones on the never going to do it side. But would they do it? Maybe. I don't know. But why do it for Conor and Chandler? It doesn't need it. Like those two dudes can just fight in somebody's backyard and it's going to do 1.5 million pay-per-views. It doesn't, if they add a 165-pound title to that, it doesn't sell one extra ticket. It doesn't sell one extra pay-per-view. People are watching that fight to see Conor McGregor come back. So it doesn't need it. Does not need it. As far as fight I'm most interested in outside of the top three, I mean, you already know how I mean, Armin Sarukian and Charles Oliveira is low-hanging fruit just because I think you guys have heard me wax poetically about Armin Sarukian forever. Been driving the train since he was before he was in the UFC. And this is my year I'm pushing all the chips in the middle when it comes to Armin Sarukian. But outside of that, if we're going off the main card, it is without question Aljamain Sterling versus Calvin Kattar. Super, super interested in that fight. Not just because Kattar's a New England guy. I just want to see how Sterling looks at 45. He's usually the guy who has like the big weight and size and power advantage, you know, when it comes to the frame. He ain't going to really have that here. Plus, Calvin hits like a truck, and Calvin can wrestle pretty damn well, even though you don't really get to see it that often because Calvin's boxing is so good. So, very interested. Very interested in that one. We're going to learn a whole hell of a lot about the future of Aljamain Sterling in this fight. Love it. Love it, love it, love it. We'll go to Chiefs fan, then we'll go to left lane, then we'll go to Kevin. Chiefs fan, go ahead.
To all the casuals who think UFC 300 is a hyped Apex card, I can't believe people are claiming that or even.
Who is saying that? That's all unreal. They're trolling.
All over Facebook. Harrison and Nickel, I think people need to check their accolades before they start saying that they don't deserve where they're at. They're both, you know, it might not have been an MMA, but they both have a past that, you know, it's bona fide. And the last thing I was going to say is the scoring criteria. How many fans don't know what they're talking about? Like 90% of them. they just don't know how a fight is supposed to be scored. And it blows my mind that they'll sit there and call a fight like, you know, oh, he got robbed. Well, you know, if a fight's close, it can't be a robbery. By definition, a robbery is something, you know, a fight where someone should have won and didn't. If it's close enough and everybody agrees it's close enough for a rematch or whatnot, then it can't be a robbery. And that's all I got. Have a nice day.
I mean, I think it's partly they don't know the scoring. And I think at the other end is they have money on the fighter who didn't win. That's a big thing. The way that gambling has taken over the sport and people have like taken it so seriously. Like I'll do them for the watch parties, but it's not like I'm betting anything significant. It's just fun. Like it just makes it fun. And if you're doing it and it's not fun, then why are you doing it? But there are people who just go crazy on it. And then when they lose a bet, it's, you know, between, oh, it's a robbery to, you know, shooting DMs to the fighter who lost their money and telling them they suck. Like, you're all, just don't be that person. Don't be that person. But yeah, the robbery is so overused. Like, I'm on this show all the time talking about how the fight I've watched the most over the last year and a half or so is Armin Sarukian versus Mateusz Gamrot. And out of all maybe 85 times I've watched that fight, I've scored it for Armin Sarukian every single time. Even I will not say after always scoring it for Armin Sarukian that that was a robbery. Same thing as Volkanovski versus Max Holloway too. Super contentious, controversial fight. Had the MMA community, it's just torn against one another. All I tweeted out after Volk won the fight, and I did think he won the fight, and every time I've watched it, I think he won the fight. All I said was it's not a robbery, and people lost their shit. Everyone's got to relax. Relax. Shit, sorry, left lane. You go next. Kevin, go ahead. Kevin.
Sorry, I just realized my mic was off. Morning from North Charleston, Mike. How you doing?
What's up, my man?
Not much. I've been listening here for a few minutes, and I haven't heard anybody mention the main event at 300. And it makes me wonder if nobody is picking the main event as their fight that they're really excited for 300. Are the UFC even excited for this main event? Or are they just kind of recognizing that this is just a setup for Magomed Ankalaev to eventually be the light heavyweight champion, much to Dana White's chagrin? Thanks, Mike. Have a good day.
Oh, man, I don't know about that. It was so funny because, like, Anik and I were talking about this in our conversation about, and we talked about that on the show a lot, about how people's expectations were way too high for this card. And to be fair to some of those folks, Dana also had said, oh boy, you guys aren't prepared for this main event. You think you're ready for the main event, but it's going to blow your socks off. And as we said many times, my socks were on. In fact, it was like winter in New England. A second pair of socks came on when they announced Alex Pereira versus Jamahal Hill. And that's not me saying that it's a bad fight, because I think it's a great fight. I think it's heading into 2024. That was one of the top five fights I wanted to see in 2024. But it was just the timing of it and the fact that Dana said that it was going to blow our socks off and they oversold it. It's a great main event. And if they just, when they announced Max Holloway versus Justin Gaethje for the BMF title, if they had just announced Alex Pereira versus Jamahal Hill was the main event and just left it at that, no one would have complained one iota about it. Everyone been like, oh shit, great main event. We're getting Gaethje versus Holloway. This card's the best. But it was just like the overhyping and all of that. I cannot wait for the fight. I'm super excited for it. I have so many questions, mostly with Jamahal Hill. Again, and I talked about this earlier, the amount of pressure that is on this man's shoulders now because of how he has sort of built up this fight, astronomical. Astronomical. He has the most to lose probably on this entire card. If he goes out and gets boinked and thumped up by Alex Pereira and gets turned into a meme, I don't know how you come back from that. I really, truly don't. I really, truly do not. But on the same token, Jamahal might be that guy. What he did against Glover Teixeira was incredibly impressive. I was more than okay, and I know Jamahal Hill is posting videos of other people picking against him in the Glover Teixeira fight. I picked against him as well. But I was also cool enough to come on this show the Tuesday after UFC 283 and be like, damn, I was dead wrong about that. I still didn't rank Jamahal Hill as the number one light heavyweight in the world. I still don't. Because beating Glover Teixeira, well, as impressive as it was, you didn't beat the best light heavyweight in the world. You didn't. You beat a guy who was very, very good, who was coming off a maybe the greatest fight in history, and a guy who was going to retire, win or lose after that fight. I'm not taking anything away from the performance. But all the questions I have for this fight are about Jamahal Hill. All of them. How is that Achilles? Is he 100%? What happens? Can he kick? What happens if Alex kicks him? Is he going to be all right? But if he goes out there and beats Alex Pereira, he's the guy. He's the best 205er in the world. He will be my number one light heavyweight with a bullet. It will not even be close. He will be the guy. If he wins, he gets it all. But if he loses, it is going to be a tough one for him. Alex Pereira can lose and still go fight Israel Adesanya. He could still go fight for the middleweight title if he wants to. He could still work his way back up. He's a fucking superstar. Jamahal Hill ain't that. Jamahal Hill is very good at fighting. He's not a star. And if he loses, the road back for him is going to be a long one. So I know he's a company guy and the UFC likes him and he goes to all the events and he says good things and that's great. If he can deliver on Saturday in the biggest fight of his life, I will take my hat off to the man. But if he loses, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. I love the fight. It deserves more shine. The more we get closer to it, the more excited I am for it. And I was never not excited for it. It was just sort of the expectations are too high all the way around between the fans, even members of the media, to Dana White in particular. But all in all, I mean, Jesus Christ, this is the best card of all time. On paper, this is the best card of all time. It just is. Every fight matters. Every single fight matters. But yeah, the main event is just so dick goddamn good. We'll go to left lane, then we'll go to Tracy, and then we got to go. Left lane, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Just quickly, this is not my question, but just off the thing about how the expectations were, like, quote-unquote, not met because Dana was saying the main event was going to blow our socks off, which he did say. But apart from that, like, his promise for the card was, you're going to see the prelims of this fight or the early prelims and be like, what the fuck, that's an early prelim, which he delivered on. And I do think the only reason why the sort of blow your socks off main event promise was not met was, like, we all know Jamahal Hill vs. Alex Pereira was not their number one choice. It was not their number two choice. It was probably not even their number five choice. They had so many wants, like, they wanted to do so much stuff, but obviously things out of their control. Ramadan, that took a lot of options off the table. So I think people can kind of, I'm not going to say that, like, yeah, this is incredible, this is the best main event they could have done, but I think cut them a little bit of slack. It's not like they went to this as their first option. If they wanted, if they could have made, like, we heard they were trying to make Leon Edwards versus Islam Makhachev, Leon Edwards versus Khamzat Chimaev. Like, they were trying to make these crazy fights, but obviously things couldn't come together. That's not my question, though. My sort of thought, man, there's so many fights, so many fighters, and so many, like, little mini storylines, I guess. Or not even mini, but just storylines on this card that are kind of going under the radar. We've got two fighters fighting up a division in all of, obviously, Holloway and Aljamain Sterling, who could assert themselves as top five guys if they get a win on Saturday. And then we've got guys like, I think there's people just don't realize how many guys or girls could get themselves a title shot or be like one fight away from a title shot with a win here. Obviously, we know the winner of Gaethje versus Holloway is going to be very well positioned. Oliveira Armin going to be very well positioned. Probably both of those guys' next fight will be for a title, but they will just have to wait for whoever else gets it first. Like Rakic and Jiří, just Jiří because of the way that fight ended. And because he is a fan favorite, and obviously we know the UFC does not want to give Uncle Live a title shot. Rakic, he gets a big KO win somehow. If he, I'm actually predicting that to happen as like a sort of unpopular prediction. I'm actually picking Rakic by KO. But like if he gets that done, gets a good moment on the mic, he could put himself in position. Obviously Aljamain Sterling probably won't get a title shot, but would I imagine be one fight away? I would hope if he got a big win. There's so, like, Diego Lopez obviously wouldn't be too close to a title shot, but, like, he's going to just increase his star power even more, become ranked. Holly Holm could probably get a title shot with a win. Even, like, might be crazy to say, like, Marina Rodriguez could almost find herself, like, just sort of shoved into a title shot if she wins and Wei Li wins, because how many other, apart from Tatiana Suarez, we don't know when she's back, how many other girls there are actually like viable challengers. I think they would rather go to Marina over Verna Jandiroba. This is my opinion. Obviously, Turner Moicano just kind of fighting for like who could get a guy just outside the top five, I'd imagine. Even like Jim Miller, you said it before, could have himself set up for a big jump up because, you know, he'll be ranked if he wins this. They could give him like a Beneil Dariush fight. Wouldn't be a crazy jump up, but like that's a top 10 guy in a rematch. He could find himself a top five guy. Cody Garbrandt or Figueiredo with a big win could find themselves a top five guy, maybe one or two away from a title shot. So that's just how, that's just why I love this card so much, is because you look from the third fight on the card, obviously the two title fights, they're fighting for belts, but every fight below those two top two, they're fighting to be like one or two wins away from a title shot, in my opinion. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, look, the card's great. Every fight matters. Every fight matters. The stakes could not be higher. Yeah, we touched on a lot of the title significance earlier in the show, but yeah, I mean, the card's awesome. Card is awesome. Tracy, go ahead. I hope I got that right. If I got it wrong, I suck.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so just a quick question. If I'm seeing a lot of this beef between Raquel and Kayla Harrison, if Harrison goes out there, dominates Holly Holm like she says she's going to do, in your opinion, do you believe she should jump up the rankings to face her, or do you believe she should fight another contender and let Juliana and Raquel hash it out before she gets the title opportunity?
Yeah, this is I think you give it to Juliana. There's some beef there. Those two, Raquel and Juliana, should have fought a bunch of times already. So I think you just get that out of the way. Let Juliana do her thing. And let's be honest. This division is awful. It's so bad. But whether you like her or hate her, Juliana Pena makes it much more interesting. And let's be clear. I think it's pretty obvious what the answer to this question is. What's a bigger fight? Kayla Harrison challenging Raquel Pennington for the Bantamweight title? Or Kayla Harrison challenging Juliana Pena for the Bantamweight title? It's the latter. It's not even close. So Let Kayla go in there, do her thing. She sits back, watches how Raquel and Juliana plays out. She sits cage side for that fight. If she wins, by the way, she's got to make weight Friday. That's going to be super interesting. She's got to beat Holly Holm. If she does, then when Raquel and Juliana fight, she sits cage side. You do a little facey face off. Boom. There you go. That's how I would do it. Although it would be kind of funny if Juliana got skipped over to see how she reacted to it. But yeah. But that's how I think it plays out. I mean, right, dude, okay. She's going to cut a whole shitload of weight. She's going to have to wait a minute. She'll probably want to wait to see how it plays out. Ryan, close us out, my man. I had you, Ryan. Where the hell are you? All right. Maybe it was an accident. All right. We got to go. BTL today, not Thursday. We're doing it today. 12:30 p.m. Eastern time. It's going to be pretty much across the board about 300. So get excited. Get ready. You know what? I'm going to bring Daniel in real quick. And then Daniel, real fast. And then I got to go. It's not going. Oh, I got you, buddy. Yeah, I got you. Go ahead.
Just a short one about Jim Miller. You think that Jim Miller will be someday a Hall of Famer because of this 100, 200, and 300 thing now?
Yeah, he better be a freaking Hall of Famer. He's got all the freaking records right now. Look, this is the UFC Hall of Fame. The UFC can put in whoever they want. They're going to put Jim Miller in the freaking Hall of Fame. I mean, Jesus Christ. Guy's fought 18,000 times. He's got 12,000 wins, 9,000 stoppage wins. I mean, the dude's fought for like 6 million minutes inside the octagon. He's fought at 100, 200, 300. He has a great relationship with them. He sets tons of bonuses. Dude's going in the Hall of Fame. 1,000%. For sure. And this has been a Hall of Fame edition of Heck of a Morning. Thank you all very much. So as far as scheduling this week's going to be friggin' insane, my friends. It's going to be absolutely wild. So we are not going to do a show Thursday because of everything going on. Also, the MMA Hour will be on the road. So they're going to have a live show Thursday. They're going to have a live show Friday from Las Vegas. Friday, there will be no Heck of a Morning either because I will be going to Vegas on Friday. And it's going to take me pretty much the entire day to get there. Traveling, we're going to try to do a show. I don't know if we're going to podcast it or not. I think we're probably just going to just hop on and chit chat on the day of 300. On Saturday, we'll pop in for a little while and we'll take some questions and get you ready for it. And then all the usual stuff. So thank you all very much. Be good people. Continue on doing all of that. And we'll see you for BTL at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. Get excited. UFC 300 just 4 days away. Have a great rest of your Tuesday. And have a heck of a morning, everybody.
Listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.